Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Manung guy? Yeah, I need to call more runs. You know, we probably were at, what, under 20 for called runs for the game. And so I need to call more so that we get him in the game a little bit more. But he, that's something that Evie and I have talked about, just making sure he has more carries going forward. Manung guy?
That's Ben Johnson. I don't know who the second Manung guy was. Who was that, Robbie?
Oh, that was just a drop.
Right. Who Manung was guy? Oh, that is Ben Johnson. That is also Ben Johnson. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And the reason we bring up Manung guy is because
Manung guy?
He didn't get a carry in the Bears game against the Lions. And when Ben Johnson said what you just heard about him wanting to call more runs, he needs to be a part of it. It doesn't need to just be DeAndre Swift. As we mentioned in the last segment, when you're talking about what you want to see improve the most, having the complimentary running back scheme that the Lions ran with Sonic and Knuckles, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, you want to see that echoed on the other side by the Bears offense. Is it going to be the same? No. Can they at least try? Yes.
They can try. I'm not optimistic about the running game being this windfall of total yardage through the running backs. Maybe with Caleb Williams scrambling for, I don't know, 40, 50 yards. That's like a strong possibility every week, especially if the offensive line and the receivers look like they did last week. But I will say this. Kyle Manung guy got in there. He did get his first NFL catch. I feel like he got acclimated to NFL life. And I know, Mark, what your conversations have been with guys over the course of the season, maybe we forget where they are and expect too much out of rookies, especially ones that didn't practice every single day leading up to game one.
Right, and I wanted to get some perspective with him, and I saw him by his locker. We had a really good talk, and we started with the fact that he did not get any carries in the Monday night game.
Were you surprised that you didn't get any carries in the game?
I think I went into the game not expecting any role in particular. And when I say any role, I mean like I didn't have an expectation of I'm going to get this beforehand or anything. Coming off an injury, just kind of getting back into the swing of things, I was just coming into the game like I'm going to help the team win however, way I can. And however many times I'm on the field, I'm going to try and do the best of what I can. So obviously, as a running back, we love to get the ball. But like I said, I didn't come in with any expectation of an amount of carries or anything, and I was just trying to help the team win anyway.
How do you feel right now in terms of the way your blocking abilities are developing or have developed?
Mm-hmm. I think like anything in every part of my game, I got some work to do. I'm always trying to improve and be better. I think blocking specifically, I think there's obviously places I can improve on because it's something I do take pride in, so it's not putting bad film out there. It's like something I take personally. So, this is the best of the best, and I got to be able to block the best.
You've been going back to your college days. Is that a trust that you have to earn with the coach and maybe even the quarterback when it comes to blocking?
Yeah. I think both. You hit it on the nail, like quarterback and the coaching staff. They got to trust you to be able to put you in positions to do that, and then the quarterback has to trust that you're going to block that guy that's screaming free, trying to take his head off. So the quarterback trusts you. He can be more comfortable on his drive, get the ball out, deliver it where it needs to go. And like I said, the staff trusts you to do it, then you'll be in more situations to seize that opportunity.
I mean, he sounds like a guy who is, if I can quote myself.
Do it.
Yeah, I said to you guys when we first started doing the show together, I said, I'm right where I'm supposed to be with you guys. It sounds like Kyle Manung guy. That was his attitude. He's right where he's supposed to be. He's healthy. He got out there. He got a little taste. But you could tell he was genuinely not put off by the fact that they didn't give him the ball more. He wants the football, of course. I think he gets it right now.
I think that's a good thing to say to make it make sense for you. But as somebody observing from the outside, I don't necessarily agree with that, especially after the run he got in training camp of how much they talked about him. What's funny is, who was the main ball carrier focus given to, I think, against the Chiefs? I feel like it was Britton Brown. You know, so for me, like, one of those two, I know that sounds crazy, but I want one of those two, if Roshon Johnson isn't available, to be part of this in a way that makes it make sense. DeAndre Swift had 17 carries, unfortunately only 3 yards per, and that's where I think the issue lies. So how does Kyle Manongai get into the mix in a way that's productive? And I don't he needs to say that, because that's the right thing to say for him. But
do you think he's pissed, really? Is
no,
what you're saying?
Okay. I want to say I would need to see more out of him, because
I gotcha, and
it's not him. I'm saying I want to see more plays called for him.
I think the heavy lifting in that interview you did with him is the fact that I'm coming off injury. I think, wasn't that part of the, I'm trying to remember. Isn't that why he didn't play against the Chiefs? Wasn't he hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, what do you, when you say Britton Brown, that's right. The next guy up. He's the next guy on the practice squad right now with no Roshon Johnson, who would be up. But I think he's saying exactly the right thing, and I don't think it's from his vantage point, yeah, he is where he's supposed to be at. No, I think from a Ben Johnson and a coaching standpoint and an Eric Bieniemy standpoint, he did what he was supposed to do. He got one target. It'd be different if he had one target, dropped the target. He did everything that he was supposed to do reasonably well, being it was his first NFL game. You could talk about the blocking not being perfect, but what rookie running back is perfect at blocking in NFL game number one? I don't know of any.
I'm not even complaining about his blocking. I didn't see anything glaring about it that stuck out to me from Monday. Did you guys?
No. What I'm saying is I thought he played very well. And again, this has nothing to do with Kyle Manongai, the player. It has to do with Ben Johnson and the coaching staff utilizing people.
Rookie seventh rounder. Let's keep that in perspective. You don't just throw a rookie. We need the Bears needed more from their running game. But to think that a rookie seventh rounder who had been injured is just going to come in and just take off and get key carries in a game is probably not being realistic. But that does lead to the conversation of, why aren't there better running backs in the building, which we discussed in the first segment. But that's another conversation.
It's a tentacle.
It is a tentacle.
For me, simply, it's that you know, you trust, you gave trust at least in your dress rehearsal to another guy, so you've got him capable if you need him, Britton Brown. It's the, there's an answer between giving him 20 carries and giving him zero. That's my whole point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is jarring. I mean, to have zero carries and a receiver gets 3 carries over the running back. Yes, it's worth pointing out, and that's why we're talking about
it. I'm sure it happens, but I just don't remember games in which only one running back got a carry on a football team.
I would venture to say probably a Matt Nagy game, if we're thinking Bears-wise. Yeah. I would venture to say that, but even then it was still Khalil Herbert and... why can't I think of his name right now?
Montgomery?
No. Cohen. Yeah, or it was
Tariq Cohen.
Tariq Cohen, or it was Dave Montgomery.
What about thanks?
Don't worry about thanks!
But even that, but like, did one of them get 4 carries or something the entire game? Like, Matt Nagy straight from the running game. I have to look it up, but
no,
I'm
just saying like a carry. Like, it's jarring to look at a box score at the end of the game and be like, oh, you were the only running back that got a carry? That's wild.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
To your point, too, about him kind of trying to tell me that, hey, man, I was injured, just happy to be here. Sort of what Braxton Jones told me after that last preseason game when I presented it to him, that the coaching staff is basically saying nobody is good enough. And I was like, are they trying to push you, to motivate you? And he accepted all that. But at the same time, he was like, I'm recovering from a pretty nasty injury.
It
still,
takes the context.
He
right?
broke a whole ankle.
Yes,
it takes the context.
That's the seriousness.
Yes, yes. So
of
he's
that.
Like, "I'll play your game. Yes, the coach is doing the right. He's right. Nobody has gone out and won this position." But he's like, "I really had a nasty injury."
He's
so
he's still ramping up, still getting back. And again, I liked what Braxton Jones did on Monday compared to maybe my expectations for what he would do.
This is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score talking about the Bears running back situation. Do we have time to play the cut from DeAndre Swift that you talked to him about? Do you think we do? Guys,
we do.
Producers?
Yep.
Producers vote yes.
I have decided we have time. This was with a group of reporters, and DeAndre Swift was being pretty real about what went wrong with the running game.
For sure. I just feel like we need to play cleaner ball offensively to get more calls in general. You know what I mean? We can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot with pre-snap stuff. We can't expect to win. Like,
what's your assessment of maybe what wasn't working with the run game early?
Hats off to them. They did a good job up front doing different things. Flores did a good job up front. That's what I would say. Especially first half, it was kind of muddy up front, tried to take what they was giving us, which really wasn't much. You know what I mean? Them type of games, you got to play clean. You know what I mean?
I like the emphasis on what we talked about, which is what, the four pre-snap penalties that led to a total of 127 yards and over the 12 penalties for the game. And he hammered that. He was like, listen, every time you do that, you're taking away an opportunity maybe for us to even be in a running situation because now the down and distance has changed so dramatically.
And he said that more. I mean, that's 30 seconds of maybe 3 or 4 minutes with DeAndre Swift. He mentioned it a couple more times about the pre-snap stuff. I think he was kind of pissed off about the pre-snap stuff, and that's about as worked up as you're going to get DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I mean, I get why he said it wasn't acceptable and how it led to not great outcomes. That all makes sense. We don't need to repeat that because we know it to be true. It's just what was the next step in making the play work? We talk all the time about how pre-snap is the most crucial part of the entire operation. But that being such a drawback, they still had other plays that didn't have pre-snap penalties. So what happened there?
No doubt. And look, we saw this all of last year. We saw it, like, where's DeAndre Swift? Oh, there's DeAndre Swift. And he would flash and he would pop. And, like, again, they know this running back. Ben Johnson knows exactly what he can get out of DeAndre Swift. It's just the rest of the running backs for him that needs to compensate.
Well, and I actually think that for as much as we do talk about the front office decisions, he was still the second best running back free agent outside of Saquon Barkley.
Well,
like, no matter how you look at it.
And most people were happy, honestly. The majority of people who have microphones and typewriters, whatever we want to call those, they were pretty happy.
Keyboards?
What?
Typewriters. Clickety click, 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 the click.
You mean computers?
Printing presses?
I don't know. Computers? I don't know. Yeah, computers.
The telegraph. Yeah. Whatever you need. I want to remind people this Sunday, join the Score in Circa Sports.
There's a baseball game going on at Wrigley Field today, ladies and gentlemen.
At Jared Payton's flagship on the Fox. That's in St. Charles. Olin Kruth, Patrick Manley, Molly. They will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Detroit. The postgame show, that will be streamed exclusively on YouTube and Twitch due to the Cubs game. That's this Sunday on Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Shorty McFadden leading off for the Cubs today.
I love old-timey Grody.
Yeah, old-timey names like that. Those real names, Shorty McFadden, here's Buster Johnson playing center field today.
Also, we did miss an opportunity to not nickname Matt Boyd Matt Oil Can Boyd.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
We did.
All right, Daddy Gang.
No.
That we need to play that more often.
Oil Can Boyd, the lanky reliever for the Boston Red Sox and for the Chicago Cubs.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.